Well, in the Senate, Harry Reid has his senators on a tight schedule to try and get health care reform passed before Christmas. But his schedule doesn't account for stalling tactics. We've got Todd Zwillick, the Takeaway Washington correspondent, here to explain this to us. Todd, what is holding up progress now?
Well, Senate stalling tactics, just like you said, Celeste. This Democrats want to try to pass this health care bill before Christmas, and their schedule right now, because of basically Republican filibusters and Republican pledges not to let them pass health reform, has them voting right up until Christmas Eve. There was a procedural vote last night, but they're still negotiating. They're still negotiating with Democratic holdouts.
And it sounds like Senator Ben Nelson in Nebraska is in no hurry.
He's in no hurry at all. Ben Nelson, just like before, has concerns over lots of parts of this bill. The biggest part is the abortion language. We've talked about this before, keeping the money that might fund abortion separate, not using any public money on the exchange whatsoever, whether in subsidies or credits or cash or any other form, to pay for abortion. There is language in there that's supposed to do that, but Nelson's not satisfied. Until he's satisfied, he won't support the Democrats, and Reid needs him.
They can't get this passed without Ben Nelson in Nebraska?
They can't get it passed without him because so far, no Republicans, Celeste, are on board, none at all. And as we've said, you need 60 votes. There are exactly 60 senators in the Democratic caucus. So unless he can get a Republican to come on board in the next couple of days, it's Ben Nelson or no one.
It sounds like they're waiting on Ben Nelson. Thanks so much. That's Todd Zwillick, the Takeaway Washington correspondent. Waiting on Ben Nelson in Washington. But while those arguments go on Capitol Hill, the real story about health care is happening every day in doctors' offices and hospitals around the country.
I've never really thought about health plan until I got sick.
I'm basically retired. I have very little income. And suddenly I have some health problems.
A lot of people that need help like me. I'm not the only one. Everybody here needs help or they wouldn't be here.
Some people would say what I'm saying is making a lot of sense. A lot of other people would say he's only saying that because he ain't got no money.
In the waiting room of Highland Hospital, it's a county facility in Oakland, California, the concerns of patients and nurses couldn't be further removed from that debate over abortion in Washington. That's why the creators of the Waiting Room Project are recording these voices and documenting these stories to try and humanize the healthcare debate and demonstrate what's really at stake here in this debate. The Waiting Room it's a film, it's a web, and it's a social media effort driven by producer Peter Nix. And it captures the efforts of people like James Bartlett. He's an emphysema patient who's struggling to get a prescription refilled.
What am I waiting for? I'm waiting for a universal health care, or at least health care in this country that covers all citizens, and I don't have to go through this rigmarole just to fill my prescriptions to check myself into ER, which has been the case here, and I should be taking it every day. And in order for me to do that, I need to check myself into ER is what they've advised me today. And I think that's absolutely ridiculous to have to waste ER's time just to fill my prescription.
James Bartlett uses a medication that's not covered by his Medicaid program in the state of California.
It's a huge issue in Washington to avoid cost explosions by people using ERs as their primary care physician.
Right, and Bartlett says he can't get a doctor to see him, so he can't get his prescriptions filled for 6 or 7 drugs that he uses to treat his emphysema. So he visited the waiting room at the Highland Hospital emergency room trying to see an ER doctor. Now, Marianne Cohan is unemployed. She relies on the county health system to treat a whole host of different chronic illnesses. She visits Highland Hospital 3 times a month just to get regular treatment for her illnesses, Crohn's disease, infusions, and even just her regular checkups.
My name is Marianne Cohan, and I am currently unemployed. And waiting to get a job, and I use the county facilities for my health care because I have a chronic illness, and they take care of me. You come in and you talk to the registration person who checks you in, and then you get your vital signs, talk to triage, then you go to registration, and then you wait. And then the triage nurse will evaluate you and see whether you should go to urgent care, if it's a minor, or if you should go over to the regular ER. I've been through it.
Wow. You know, Pete Nix has been a guest on this program.
Yes,
and,
he has.
And he talks about how he was so surprised that people were so candid in these waiting rooms talking to his cameras.
They really want to talk about their stories, though. I mean, and it's not just the patients there. The doctors and the nurses, they want to point out what's going on in their hospital. In this case, as we said, it's Highland Hospital in Oakland, California. They want to talk about it because they know that the debate going on in Washington is an important one. And one of their volunteers there is a woman named Lucy Obu. She is a volunteer in the emergency room, and she's been there for 4 years, born and raised in Nigeria. And she talks about how in Nigeria she saw a whole lot of people that were suffering and she couldn't help them. They didn't have access to even the most basic health care. So that's why she wanted to go into the medical field. She wanted to have a real impact on people's lives, and she wanted to be able to help. Lucy Obu has a degree in biology and chemistry. This is what she had to say about why she volunteers at the hospital.
I know how much there's a need for healthcare all over the world, for impoverished communities, for people who don't have access to healthcare. I can't think of this as something that's just like primarily of my own. It's not. If I can be able to somehow one day help one family, help one patient get better or feel better or increase their life, just be able to help them out. It would be so much more worth all these different things I'm going through right now because the cause is bigger than me, you know?
It is much bigger. And, you know, Pete Nix chose Highland Hospital, which is a county facility there, as you mentioned, in Oakland, because it is sort of the front line. It's the medical facility of last resort for the uninsured in Oakland, and there are a lot of people on or below the poverty line in Oakland.
They are, but, you know, even more than just a last resort, as you heard from these particular voices this morning, for many people, it's also their first resort. This is the first, middle, and last place that they go. They have no other option.
And the fact that they use the ER, again,
checkups.
as checkups is hugely expensive. It's a sign that there is really no safety net, and this is sort of the default option medically. And I guess ultimately, you know, are anything the lawmakers are doing in Capitol Hill going to make it less likely that these people will have to go to an ER? That's really the question.
It is. Well, you can see some of this video at our website, thetakeaway.org, and we will continue to follow these voices and hear these voices from the Waiting Room Project.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.